This recording, Austria 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her, and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much." But Mr. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. A story about my childhood. Any specific age I should be in, or... Okay, what's interesting about my childhood? My home. Well, an interesting thing, which I always thought, looking back at it now, is that approximately between, it pretty much started when I went to school from elementary school on, because I didn't go to kindergarten or anything, so I pretty much didn't leave the house till I was 7, and my parents were always accepting what I said, and I always was a very outgoing person, and I pretty much always liked to present myself. And so I didn't have any kind of shut up judges or whatever. And when I entered elementary school, things of course started to be a little more complicated because there's this kind of peer pressure going on immediately. And from the start on, I was an outsider, immediately. And it went on for some time. At the beginning, the first years of elementary school, it wasn't that much of a problem because I honestly don't remember details, but it really got worse when I entered 5th or 6th grade, and people were really forming this very close community, and I was always on the outside. And there was a time where I literally went home every day crying and saying, "Why are they doing this? For whatever reason." And I'm just saying what I think, and I'm trying to be funny or trying to be honest or whatever. And people don't accept it. What am I doing wrong? And my father always told me, "You know what? Stick to it. It'll eventually be better someday." And I did just that. And I think it was 8th grade when teachers asked me to do the major role in a musical, which our school prepared and had performed then. And I think it was May of 2001. And I immediately got the major role. There was, of course, singing included and acting. And people started to realize that I was in fact not negatively special, but positively special. And they started to like me. Not like it was kind of, it was not only because of the musical, but it was also, it kind of went hand in hand. Like there was a sudden change in my attitude, maybe. Or the things that I had already said, I now said them in a different way. And I was like, I just was more self-conscious than before. And it worked. Like people started to accept me, and eventually I got some friends, and I was among the bigger, like the bigger group of the people. Though I wouldn't consider myself to be among the masses, but I was always some kind of a, I still was an outsider, but from then on I was like a very fancied outsider. Like people liked me and accepted me, and I was always like, if I was going to, like there was then in high school afterwards, then it turned out to be, it became more and more this way, that people really appreciated my presence. Like, you're going on a party? Yeah, I'm gonna go well as well to the party. And it really became kind of a, I'm not saying I was a star or anything, but I had certain, I was immune to certain things that other people wouldn't have. Like, I'm talking myself into something I can't really say because I lack some words. But so there was, it was this kind of a shift about at about 14, when I suddenly became aware of it. I am different to most of the people, and I'm gonna stick to that, and I'm gonna become an actor. And anyone who says, yeah, don't even bother trying, try to be normal, thanks. I don't appreciate your opinion. So that's why I'm here at the Toronto Film School.